Amen. And I want to speak on the two ands, the day star, the tree of knowledge. Now, the two ands here in St. John represents the written word and also the spoken word. And when Jesus was here, the Pharisees knew the word as far as the written part of the word. They knew it, we could say, they knew it inside and out, you know. They had people there that was called scribes that did nothing but to be sure they got every I dotted and every T crossed, everything just right. But when Jesus came, which was the Word, amen, they said he's of the devil. And they called him everything. But Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. See? Amen. So when we begin to talk about the Word of God, and also the tree of knowledge, the tree of good and evil, the day star, and we get all these in there together, we find out that everything, it's in the Spirit, say. Praise the Lord. And the Bible here is a wonderful book, one of the greatest books ever written, but it alone will only get you in trouble. Now, Paul spoke of something that the letter killeth. It means you read the Bible, it's going to kill you. Amen. Unless the Spirit of God is there to make it live, see. Amen. So, there's a lot of people, Paul spoke of some dead while they liveth, you know. And Jesus told the Pharisees and Sadducees about the word, and they said, oh, our father did eat manna in the wilderness, and we're Abraham's seed. Jesus said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, but they're everyone dead. And said, if you knew who Abraham was, if you were really Abraham's seed, that's spiritual seed, said, you would know who I am. But said, you're of your father the devil. Yet they were the most learned people of that day as far as the scripture concerned. You couldn't touch them as far as the natural word. But they missed one thing. Amen. They had the first and of the word. And that's in St. John 2:22. You remember the dream that I had many years ago down here in the woods where there was like a monument. It's made in the shape of an M. And it had "and" on one side, and on the other side it had "and" again in very black letters. The monument's very white. And I thought to myself when I woke up, that can't have any particular meanings to it in the scripture that I can see, just two ands on a big monument or something like that. But I got reading in St. John. I was reading the Bible through, at that time, New Testament. And when I got down to verse 22, there's two ands in this verse that begin to come up and go down, come up and go down. And as it would rise up, they would expand and get bigger and go back. And they can do that like that on the computer now, you know, make something like that. But it was putting emphasis on the two ands. And then immediately I thought about my dream. That's why I dream about two ands. And here's two ends in this scripture going up and down, up and down, up and down like that. Amen. And I just stopped reading and began to think and meditate a few minutes, and then I went back and read it again. Then I read it again. What's here that I'm missing? Amen. But I began to see what it was then. But let's pray before I read it here. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity to come this morning and minister the Word of God. And Lord, not just the letter of the Word, because your servant Paul said the letter alone will kill. The letter killeth, but the Spirit that gives life. And he even told the disciples of his day that you are the written Word. You're the epistles of the Lord. and said, the Word is written within your mind and in your heart, the living Word. And so we see this morning, Lord, as we read this Scripture, there's a part of the Word that we certainly don't want to miss, and that's the Spirit of the Word. So I pray this morning you bless us to minister and bless the people of here. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to, my text will be in 222 there, but I want to back up here just a little bit and get what was talking about there. Jesus was speaking about the temple, tear it down, build it back, and so on. And see, they were so in the natural they couldn't understand, but let me get verse 18. Yeah. Then Jesus answered the Jews and said unto them, what sign are then the Jews? Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rear it up again. Amen. I want you to notice that. Now, that floored them there. Watch what they said. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and thou wilt rear it up in 3 days? Watch now. But he spake of the temple of his body. See, that was the spiritual part of that word. That was the second end of the word. And then we go on down, it says, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. Now watch. And, that's your first hand. And they believed the Scripture. And that's very important. But along, there's more, there's another part of it that's just as important. It says, and they believed the Scripture. It says, and the Word which Jesus had said. Now that's spoken Word, and Jesus said that these words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit. And their life, see? Amen. So, to read the Scripture without that Spirit and life of the Word, amen, it's Paul said it kills. Now, in the Garden of Eden, God set 2 trees in the Garden. He set the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. And, of course, the written Word is the tree of knowledge, see? It became the tree of knowledge. And that was 2 laws that he put there. And everything that God made was very good. God created the serpent and set him in the garden, and the serpent was very good. Amen. Everything God created, he looked at and saw it was very good. And if you go back before that, you'll find the angelic kingdom. You'll get in Ezekiel and also in Jeremiah. When Satan was created, he was perfect in the days when he was created until sin was found, iniquity was found in him. Amen. Satan at one time, he's the most righteous angel that there was. He was the son of the morning. That means the dawning of creation. Amen. But God put him in charge of the earth to be the ruler of it and so on, and over the angelical kingdom. But he began to get a thought in his mind to go contrary, that he could do better than God's plan. He tried to lift his throne above the throne of God, the Word said. Well, God just overthrew the whole thing, you know. Amen. They're probably tumbled out there in darkness many million years. We don't even know. And I'm not going to go back and try to get all those ins and outs there. I'll leave that to the scientific world. And I don't agree with them most of the time. So we'll just leave it in the base on the words. But the point is, Satan was very good. God has never created anything that weren't good. Amen. How many knows it? Amen. And again, I want to repeat, he was perfect in the day that he was created. See? And not only was he perfect in the day that he was created, he was the son of the morning. That's light. Dawning of the creation. But as he went along, he began to see how much power he had. He began to see how God had exalted him. The pride began to feel, come within him. He began to say, I will do this. And, of course, it was overthrown. Then God created in the garden there of Eden. He created the animal kingdom. He created all of these things. And he created the serpent. And he set the tree of knowledge there and the tree of life. Now, the serpent weren't a bad person. He was very good. He was Adam and Eve's helper. And one Jewish writer says he lived with Adam and Eve, and he was a helper there. But then old Satan, he had already become a fallen angel at this time. That he became the devil, Lucifer. See? And so he had one creature he could go to that could talk, that could think, that could reason, and all these things. And he came and he began to influence the serpent, which was a very good creature, a good worker. He was the servant of Adam and Eve. He was the farmer. He knew how to till the ground and all those things like that. And that's reading sometimes today when one nation, and it especially has been in history, but not so much maybe in our day, but in history, if one nation ever overcame another nation, they would make slaves out of those that they captured and that they overcame and so on. Because somewhere down within man, he's lost that servant. So he's always looking for a servant to do the work for him. See? And, of course, we saw it here in the U.S. earlier on. In the South here especially, slaves. And now, of course, we used people from different nationalities and so on with smaller wages and all, so it still mounts out about the same thing as having servants. Because that's what we've lost, see. We've lost our the creature that was to serve us. Amen. But in that great millennium, in the eternal age, God's going to have a natural people here. And they're going to just love to take care of the earth so good. They'll be called nations. We that's in the bride of Christ will have glorified bodies. Amen. And we will, of course, in that body, we will eat. When I don't know exactly all the ins and outs here, but I know Jesus, when he rose from the dead, the disciples, they said, this is a spirit. You know, he said, have a spirit, flesh and bones. You know, and then he said, children, do you have anything to eat? Amen. And they said, they gave some fish and honey, and he ate and talked to them and disappeared. And, of course, John said, we'll have a body like unto his own glorious body. See? So in that great millennium, as we get a new glorified body when the rapture's about to take place here, amen, we've already been translated into the spiritual kingdom. That's Colossians 1:13, that you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the marvelous Son of God. So we're in a new kingdom, been translated, amen, which assure us of a physical translation. Amen. And I tell you, it's good. But when we go into the millennia, amen, And God judged this whole earth. He binds those devil, cast him in the bottomless pit. He'll be there for 1,000 years. Then the earth will begin to go right. Amen. It'll be like heaven on earth here after we get over into the millennia, a few 100 years anyway. Amen. And the natural people, they'll be so happy because the devil won't be attempting them. He'll be bound. Amen. And the bride will be here. And we'll teach all nations, and the law of God shall go forth. Hallelujah. Amen. With God's great, big, happy family. But God has never tucked anything into His kingdom that He didn't try. See, that's why Satan was tried. That's why every angel that assists us today, at one time, they overcame a trial. They overcame because Satan, the great angel, son of the morning, and about a third of the other angels fell away, and they were a heavy influence on the other angels. But thank God there was something within those angels, amen, that says, I'm going to stay true to God, don't matter what you've got to offer. And that's the way the true church is today. Amen. Irregardless of what they got to offer out there in the church world, there's a people going to stay true to God and God's Word. Amen. I watched last night a little bit on the Mormons choir and where they give the Christmas play each year. Once a year they let you come in. This will be free. They got about, I believe, 26,000 people can sit in their big thing out there, the biggest choir in the world. And the organ, the biggest pipe organ, big pipes. It's amazing how the millions of dollars that was spent in there, and everything is so classy. You would think, oh, did I die and go to heaven? The singing is so beautiful. Everything is so great, so wonderful. Amen. But when you get to the Word, it deviates off, see. Amen. So that's the way it is in a lot of the movements, the churches. They got a lot to offer, and they got a lot of things. But they'll never take you right to the fullness of the Word. They got their certain scriptures. Amen. For instance, many of them today, amen, that claim to have the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, many of them, if you take the Bible and say the Word of God teaches us to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Amen. And that's God's plan there. Amen. They will say, we got the Holy Ghost. We got the power of God. We got this. And we've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's what we believe. See? And it looks good. Big. Take the Assemblies of God and Church of God, and many of these, I've been right there with them many years ago. Amen. And it looks like the best music you could get. The preacher knows how to stand up and do his thing. Now some of the churches in town begin to put dresses on the preachers. Amen. To make it look a little more like the worldly churches out there. Priests and so on like that. Amen. But there's a people resist all of that. Hallelujah. Because they're interested in stay with that Word. Amen. They build a big conglomerate of religion. Amen. And they've got nothing but the tree of knowledge. Hallelujah. And it's not connected with the tree of life because the tree of life is the Word for the day and hour we're living in. Amen. So God put the tree of knowledge there in the Garden of Eden. Now, it was to be used. It was very good. Now, don't think the tree of knowledge was a bad thing. It was very good. Everything He created, He saw it was very good. It was what they did with it. And the Bible is a very good book. But it can also become the tree of knowledge, and Paul said it will kill. Amen. How many know that? Amen. It's like a gun. A gun can protect you, or it can kill you, you know. Amen. It can be the best thing you ever had, or it can be the worst thing you ever had. depend on how you use it. See, Paul said this word, said their letter killeth. Amen. Said God put His law in your heart, in your mind, and said you have become the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Let me give you an example as we go into the spiritual part of this. The Word of God says there will be a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. You know, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to His temple, which was prophecy of John the Baptist, see. John came out, but when he came, see, that was the written word. When he came, then he was that fulfilled, living, breathing, talking Word. That way you could see the Word in human form. Hallelujah. Amen. But when they went out, the Pharisees went out to see John. There he was with the camel hair spread around him, garment. He was eating locusts and wild honey. Amen. Now, locust is some type of bug, I guess. I don't know. I've never... And then there's a tree named... But that's what he ate. Amen. Probably hadn't shaved. And he lived... The Bible says he lived in the wilderness, see? He came out of the wilderness preaching. And it said that he went in there about 9 years old, and he probably knew very little word, written word, if any at all. Amen. Very little, because he just lived in the wilderness. But God was dealing with his heart, saying the time for the Messiah to come. And said, I want you to go out and introduce the Messiah. I want you to introduce Jesus. Here come an old man out, amen, there in no muddy Jordan. Amen, the religious leaders, they didn't much want to know about him, but all the common people, they came out to see what the old man was doing out there. Amen, he began to tell them, repent, the kingdom of God's at hand. So finally, from headquarters, they sent some of the people down there to see who this old man was that was causing the disturbance down there. So they came to John, and they said, who are you? Are you the Messiah? He said, no. Are you that prophet? No. And they said, who are you? How come you're baptizing here? And they said, we got to go back and take an answer to the people that sent us, the Pharisees and Sadducees. The chief priests want to know who you are and what you're doing here. He said, go tell him. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. It blinded them as blind as a bat. Hallelujah. They finally cut his head off, you know. Amen, but that was that living Word. They had the natural Word. There's nobody then, and there's nobody now, that is better on the written Word than the Jews. I'm talking Old Testament here, basically. That's what was wrote then. Amen, because they had, in that dead space, they had men that their life was dedicated. They didn't work on the job. They didn't do anything else. They were scribes, and the only thing their duty was to be sure everything was just exactly right, that there weren't nothing missing at all, because they wanted to be right in their natural way. But then here come the Word, and here He came. Amen. They knew nothing about Him. Amen. Here come the King. Amen. Here come the one they were singing about. They were in the church singing and teaching, we're in the last days. The coming of the Lord's nigh. The King's going to come and He's going to take over. He's going to put down the Romans and the King's going to come. Well, they had the written Word. They had the tree of knowledge and they were eating on that. They were just so fat. Like some of these fat-bellied preachers today. Amen. They'll be on that tree of knowledge. So they're so full of pride, so full of fatness and rottenness. Amen. And when the Word comes, they can't see it. They don't know it. But we're looking for the manifested, living, breathing, walking, talking Word. Hallelujah. Not just the Bible, the living, walking, talking Word. That's the only Word there's any life in. Hallelujah. A fulfilled Word don't have life in it. Amen. So they came to Jesus, you know. and they began to ask Him a few questions. And when He got through talking to them, tell them who they were and tell them who their Father was. Amen. The Bible says they went about to kill Him. Hallelujah. The very Word of God. And then they talk about the King's going to come. He's going to come into Jerusalem. Okay, that's the Word. And they knew it. They had it wrote. But watch. Here come the Word. Here come the Word riding right into Jerusalem, doing just like the Word said. Hey, man. Came in there and said, now here's your King. They said, you're a disgrace to us. A King coming here on the little donkey, and ain't nobody around you but the common people. The Bible says the common people heard Him. They listened to Him. They heard Him gladly. They were crying, Hosanna to the King! Hosanna to the King! Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. Here come that Word that the Bible said would come. They said, crucify this fella. He's not our King. And then, old Pilate, they went to him. He was the Roman governor there that ruled in Jerusalem. They said, get rid of this man. He's got to go. He's disturbing. He said, well, that's you see to that. But they said, well, we've only got one King, and that's Herod. And said, if you don't get rid of him, you're taking sides with somebody that's against Herod. This man's claiming to be the King. So he got him, brought him before him, that the Jews did. And he said, are you the King of Israel? Pilate did. The Jews said, are you the King of Israel? He said, thou said. He said, don't you know, don't you get smart with me, fella. He said, don't you know I can kill you or I can set you free? Don't give me no lip. The Word says this. The Word, the living Word. Notice Jesus was a living Word. He says, you got no power at all. Except God allows you to do it. You can't touch me. Hallelujah. Amen. They were coming after Jesus, but Jesus said, my hour's not yet. They can't touch me. They can't do nothing. Amen. He went around, preached the Word, raised the dead, and still every time He come in contact with the religious people, those that were eating on the tree of knowledge, the common people didn't know much about it, but they knew the Word. And that was Jesus. A lot of people think because they can quote a lot of Scripture, they know the Word. The more some of them quote, the dumber they get. Hallelujah, because the only thing they're doing is chomping around on that tree of knowledge. And He said, the day you eat that tree of knowledge, the day you decide you go that route of knowledge, that day you'll die. Amen. He had the tree of life sitting right there in the Garden of Eden as well as the tree of knowledge. Now He said, stay away from this tree of knowledge right now. There'll come a time when the tree of knowledge is going to do its thing. Amen. But not until the tree of life comes. And it had to do with the birth of children in that hour. And it still does. Except it's spiritual birth now. Amen. The law that would work in Adam and Eve, they'd come together. Amen. And bring forth children. And every child they brought forth would have eternal life. Couldn't die. Amen. But Eve couldn't wait. Just like the church world today, they couldn't wait till God did what He's doing now. They wanted to make their own plan. They wanted to make their own organization. They wanted to do it. But here comes Jesus right down the road talking and speaking. Amen. They said it's of the devil. Amen. Jesus is a Word now, not a person. Don't you keep your head on straight here. Jesus is a Word. God, He got anointed men. Paul spoke and he said when he came, said, you receive me as an angel of God. He said, you glorified God within me. Amen. He said, it's Christ in me. I'm in Christ's stead. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what they did to him? They cut his head off. Amen. They've always crucified the Word. And the ones that crucified the Word, most of the time they carried a Bible under their arm. Now, I don't know if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs about the Spanish Inquisition, how the basically the Catholic Church, that they put to death millions. There's one book that says they put to death 68 million in the Dark Ages. Because they wouldn't go with the Word that they had. Amen, because they believed in God. But that was a little group called the Hootenannies and Waldies that they went up in the mountain and they kept right on baptizing in Jesus' name. And they'd send the armies at the end of them rocks and there they couldn't even get to them. Amen. God protect His Word even in that darkest age when that black horse rider come forth. Had a purse balance in his hand. And had he said a measure of wheat for a penny, a measure of barley for a penny. But there came a voice that said, see that you hurt not the wine and oil. Amen. She was selling her natural thing, praying people out of purgatory, and they still do. If you give them so much money. Amen. But it said, see that you hurt not the wine and oil. And wine represents stimulation. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. Right through there came the church ages. And there was a few people that stayed true to the Word and found Jesus because there was a messenger for every one of them seven church ages. And that messenger brought that portion of life, that portion of the living Word. Amen. Brought it right on through now till he's got us all the way through the church ages. And the church still alive. Amen. Now, they believed the Scripture. The disciples did. And. Now, the Pharisees believed the Scripture. Now, the Pharisees, they believed the Scripture, but they didn't believe the other and. They believed the first and. That only was knowledge, and it killed them. That was that tree of knowledge. But when Jesus came, they said, he's of the devil. Let him be crucified. And Pilate's wife, when they're about ready to crucify him, turn him over, here come a Pilate's wife in. She was a pagan, but God gave her a dream. Or sent a note in. Give this to him. You got to get this to Pilate. You got to get this to him. Before he does something bad, he'll regret. So they brought a note to him. You know what the note says? How many knows what the note says? Yeah. Have thou nothing to do with this just man, because I've suffered many things in a dream because of him. You know what Pilate did? He got trembling. He got scared. So he told the Jews, why evil have this man done? Said, we can whip him and let him go. No. They said, let him be crucified. And the Bible says, they, with one voice, they got the people stirred up. Now, I'm talking the most religious people in the world, the one had the Word. I'm talking about those that knew the Word, studied the Word, lived for the Word, and the Word was their very own life. Amen, but it was only the letter of the Word. Here comes the real life of the Word in order to make it, to join that tree of life with the tree of knowledge, and Israel had been the greatest nation in the world. No, but they rejected it. But remember, the disciples though, the apostles, they believed the Scripture and the words that Jesus had said unto them. So Pilate, he could prevail nothing. So all of a sudden, a thought hit him. Along about this time every year, we turn a prisoner loose. And we got one that got a reputation that reaches a half a mile. That's guilty of everything you can think of. He's guilty. Said his name is Barabbas. He said, I got it now. I got it. Because nobody's going to want Barabbas out on the street again. So Pilate called him up to him. He says, okay, we got Jesus here. And we got Pilate. Barabbas, right. We got Barabbas. That's what Pilate said. We got Jesus and we got Barabbas. Now, he says, usually, as the custom is, along about this time of the year, just to show a good deed, we release a prisoner. Says, who would you that I should release? Jesus or Barabbas? And he thought it was a foregone conclusion that they would say Barabbas, because he's guilty of murder, insurrection, and everything you could think of. The only thing Jesus did, they just accused him of not following Moses. Amen. So it was Pilate thought it would be a foregone conclusion who they would choose. And they said, release unto us Barabbas. Release Barabbas. And Pilate said, then what shall we do with this man called Jesus? Once again, the crowd roared out, let him be crucified. That was the living word. That was the very one they sung about in their churches and said was coming. That was the one they talked about. That was the one they were taught about from a little child up that he'll come one day. Here he stands. The living word, the second hand to the word of God. Hallelujah. Just as John was that second hand to the word, they rejected him, crucified him. Here comes Jesus, the King, the Messiah, the God manifested in flesh in that realm, the very Son of God. And he fulfilled the scripture right to the letter, but they weren't looking at that part of the scripture. Amen. They were looking at probably Zacharias, where the King will come and all the saints with him and all that, but that's the second time he comes. Well, there's a song that says the first time he came to a stable long ago, they cast him aside, for they really didn't know. He came to his own, he came to save and to heal, but they crucified him. I don't know how it goes on Golgotha's hill. But said the next time he came, the next time he comes, it won't be that way, see. Well, that's the thing. The Jews missed the first coming. They missed his coming. My question is to you, have we? They missed his coming. Have we? He has come back here in this last day. Come back making that word live, doing exactly what he said he would do. Here it is right before our eyes. But a lot of people, they reject it because it don't come like they think it ought to. It's not sophisticated enough for them. It's not painted up enough. It's not flowered up enough. Amen. Think about the King of all the world riding in Jerusalem on a little donkey. Amen. And just the common people hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna. What was it? Here come the Word. He said, your king will come to you riding on the foal of an ass. You know, riding on a little horse, riding on a donkey. That's what it says in the Old Testament. That was one of the scriptures. They missed it. Amen. Just like the Jewish man on TV said, there's a lot of messiahs. Said, one will come and die. One will come and do this, and one will come and do that. And one's going to come back and put down all the enemies and set up his king here, his throne in Jerusalem. No, it's one king. His name's Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the King of all the earth. And he came exactly like the Word said. And they missed it. Why? Because they were eating of the tree of knowledge. They had the first and. Here God put the second and, wanted to put the second and on it, and they rejected. We've had the first and all the way through the church ages. Paul's message is the first and, but here comes the second and to make it live, to give the bride something, to rapture her out here in a moment in the twinkling of an eye where she'll be changed. They're missing it again. Amen. That's the tree of life, see. Amen. In the days of Paul, God came, the tree of life was putting it on that word in his day. But as it went, fell away and went in church age, God tucked it up, tucked that word up, sealed it up with seven seals. He unloosed the seals. He's brought it back in this last day, and people are still looking for him to come. People are still saying when that mighty angel come down and bring that book and them seals open, that's going to be the end. Those seals were open in 1963 as God thundered out across the nation with a message. Amen. Hallelujah. That little book's come down. We're eating from the little book. Hallelujah. And God's got the very ministry He said would be here, apostolic ministry. Glory to God, replanting that seed to grow in the last day. Hallelujah. Set the office of the apostle back in here. And that seed's planted now. This plant will come forth, the limbs of evangelists, the limbs of a teacher, the limbs of all these. Amen. It's going to spread out all the world. The bride will hear. Amen. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Praise God. Amen. So the second end is here. The interpretation of the word here, I want to read a scripture in 2 Peter here where he tells about the day star. Amen. How it's going to rise. Amen. Said, we've got a more sure word of prophecy. This is one scripture that we preached on years ago. Amen. It was rejected. I preached a message here. And you can go back and get it. I think there were 17 preachers right here on the platform. Amen. I preached a message called Bishops, Elders, and Deacons and the Fivefold Ministry. And on the end of that tape, you'll hear the testimonies. A different one. This is God. This is God. This is Christ. And all those kind of testimonies. Amen. But as time went by, they missed it. Hallelujah. That was people said Jesus was the Messiah. Amen. But when He was crucified, He couldn't find a soul. Every one of them left Him. It was only those that got revelation. He went out there in the desert there to speak. There came a big slew of people out there. Multitudes. I think about 7,000 in one group, 5,000 in another. Amen. They didn't have anything to eat, but that was a little boy. He had, what was it, two fish and 5 loaves. And somebody would say, that's the craziest young man I've ever seen. Because Jesus said, give them something to eat. That's why He told His disciples. And they said, Lord, are you thinking straight today? Why, 200 pennies worth wouldn't buy enough food for these people. But there's a little young fella sitting there. His mom had picked him a little lunch that day. Amen, a little brown paper bag. Amen, he brought it up to Jesus and said, I got something to feed him with. Can you imagine those disciples? Get him out from here. That young fella there, that's totally ridiculous, bring a little lunch. But Jesus took it. That's all Jesus wants. A lot of people think you got to have a lot. You don't have to have a lot. Just bring it to Jesus, and He'll make a lot out of it if He wants to. He'll multiply. Hallelujah. How many believe that? So Jesus said, give it here. The little boy gave him the bread and fish. He started breaking. He fed that entire multitude. And when he got through, they all got through eating. You know what? They took up 12 baskets. Hallelujah. What did that? It was that word, that living word that the written word talked about. It was Him that was to come. Here He was. Doing exactly what He was supposed to do. But then they all got fallen, but they got fallen for the fish and loaf. And one day Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you got no part with me. Can somebody tell me what they did? Yeah. They said, this man, he's lost. This is a hard thing. He wants us to become a cannibal, begin to eat on him and drink his blood. And they said, this is a hard thing. And guess what? Every one of them left him but the 12. And Jesus looked at the 12 and said, will you also go away? So I've chosen 12, one of you is the devil. Amen. Will you also go away? But that was one always spoke up, Peter. He says, Lord, to whom could we go? thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. He had a revelation who he was. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. It was the living word that came out of this year. It was that second hand. Hallelujah. And it began to live. There's something living today. He said that there would be a fivefold ministry that he would give. He would restore apostolic ministry, not to get the church engaged. That's the first hand. That happened back then. Amen. With a message to marry the living bride to Christ, where that she'll be his wife. John saw her going up. He didn't call her bride. He didn't call her virgin. He said his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be clothed in fine linen, clean white, which is the righteousness of God. And only the living word, the living message is the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. It's not the letter of the word. The letter still killeth, but it's the Spirit giveth life. Amen. Is that right? Now watch why you say it here in 2 Peter. 2 chapter, 19th verse. Hallelujah. I'm liable to get started on preaching in a minute if I keep trying. Amen. 2 Peter 2:19. He's telling about a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And the voice from the excellent of heaven, we heard Peter saying when we were with him in the Holy Mount. But verse 19, what I want to get. Peter said this, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Now, the more sure word of prophecy is this word of God, amen, that will produce everything that God said it would produce. Amen. But it's got to take something else with it to make it produce. Amen. Watch why he said we have a more sure word prophecy, whereby you do well, take heed. But watch why he said, as a light that shines in a dark place. Now sometimes I need to come out here in church, especially in the morning when I turn the heat up and so on. I just come out and I bring my flashlight. And I see where I'm going, see where I'm stepping, and I put it on the thermostat there, and I know, see how to set it, you know. Amen, but the rest of the church is dark. I got a flashlight. I'm showing my way. It only shows me one step at a time, you know. Amen, but watch, when the sun rises, amen, that flashlight, it is of little value because the sun has so lightened the world that flashlight, it renders it useless. And that's why it is the Bible, amen, is rendered useless without the revelation to make it live. Amen. Now watch what it says here. It has a more sure word of prophecy, and it'll do as a light to get you through the dark ages. As a light that shines in a dark place, but watch, until. Now, a lot of times somebody say, you just sit there until I tell you to move. You sit here, like you go to the doctor's office or something, and you won't know if you're getting in. No, just sit down here until we get ready for you. We'll call you. Until means, at a certain point, it will change, see. At a certain point, you'll get up. At a certain point, you won't stand there. We got a flashlight, and it's good until. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We got a Bible here, and it's been good. It served us well. Has God, from time to time, put a little revelation on it? But now He has come and begin to make it real. Amen. Now watch here. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Hallelujah, that day star. Amen. Paul said he put his word in your heart and in your mind. Hallelujah. And he said, know ye not that Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. It's Christ coming to your heart, and here's a message come forth, putting that word in there. Hallelujah. And you become living epistle. You become what the Bible said would be here, and it does little good to read what's going to be here unless you become that. Hallelujah! It did little good for us to say, there's a voice crying in the wilderness saying, make straight the pathway. It was 100% true. Amen. But it did little good until here come an old fellow walked out of the wilderness clothed in camel hair. Amen. Maybe in mud up to his knees, baptizing. Amen. Saying the Messiah's coming, the Messiah's coming. Amen. He preached that way for a while then, and they said, how you gonna know when the Messiah come? He said, he that told me to come preach gave me a sign. Hallelujah. When he come, there's going to be a sign open. When he baptized, when he saw Jesus coming, he went up and said, Jesus came to be baptized. John had got the revelation. He saw the sign. He says, don't come to me to get baptized. I have need to be baptized of thee. Remember? I need to be baptized of thee. He said, I can't do it. I'm the one need baptized, and you don't need to be. I want you need to baptize me. But Jesus said, suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all right. And he set a type there. And as soon as he was baptized, here come the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. On the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow white dove. God sent his pure, sweet love. Hallelujah. You see how God made that word live? He made, it's wrote, but it's a dead letter of the word unless he come and put his spirit on and make it live. It's the first and of the word. They believe the scripture, and it's total necessary to believe the scripture. But believing the scripture, that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees did, and Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil.
Amen.
Why? They were in good shape. They were doing exactly what they were supposed to do until the second hand came, which was Christ. And that's the way it's been through the church ages. You've been all right in these denominations. You took what little they give you. They threw you a crumb every now and then to keep you alive. But here comes Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, thundering around and around the world with a message. Amen, it's the mighty eagle crying, and there's little eaglets all over the world begin to stick up their head. Brother Pete Creason came down, he said, I had a dream, I won't tell you. So I was sitting there and I looked down south here and said, there was a mother eagle crying, screaming. And said, then I looked, and all over the world, all around, little eagles everywhere heard that cry, and they began to raise up their head. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's something coming to make us raise up our head. What was that song we sung there this morning about hearts on fire? Hallelujah, it's that word, that living word, not the scripture. Amen, the scripture, we got to have it. But we got to have the second part, just like the tree of knowledge, we got to have it. In order for Adam and Eve to bring forth a child in the Garden of Eden, they had to have the tree of knowledge. The only thing is they used it without the tree of life and brought forth children that didn't have eternal life. You see, that's why the tree of life had to come back through Christ. And here's what he said. Amen. They had the first birth. That should have been sufficient had the fall not taken place. But Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said to him, Master, we know, They knew. Some of them knew, but they weren't going to accept him because the Pharisees, I got one thing I'll say about this in a minute. The Pharisees, they said, if anybody accept that man, we're going to throw you out of the synagogue. Remember the man that was blind? Amen. He was blind and couldn't see. So the Pharisees went and sent and got him. And they went about to kill him because Jesus healed his blindness. They called his parents. Said, is this your son? He was old enough to speak for himself. They said, yes, this is our son. Was he blind? Was he born blind? Yes, he's been blind all his life. They said to him, how in the world is he seeing now? You know what they said? Somebody know here? Ask him. He's of age. And the Bible says, this they said because the Pharisees had said, if you accept him, they will throw you out of the synagogue. And it's the same thing today. If you accept him, they'll throw you out of the synagogue. Amen. Take this word and go in that we're preaching. They'll throw you out. You go in there and tell them they need to repent and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and stop their nonsense. They'll say, get out of here. We was going a long time before you come along. Amen. The Pharisees going a long time before Jesus came along too. But once he came along, gave them the word, Jesus said, they said, we're not in sin. Said, you're born in sin. That's because they didn't know that Jesus was born of a virgin, because they said he was illegitimate. And as we say in this day, they said he's a bastard born child. Said, we're not, said, you are the devil. Said, we're not, said, you are. Said, you're born to fornication. And Jesus said, we don't even know who your father is. He said, if you knew who the father was, you'd be all right. But they said, we got Abraham to our father. He said, if Abraham was your father, you'd know who I am. That means the spiritual father that had the same revelation Abraham. The Bible says Jesus Christ preached the gospel in Abraham. Because God told Abraham, you'll have a child, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And that was a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But Nicodemus came to Jesus, getting back to this, I'm going to get on this. Nicodemus came to Jesus. And yes, came tonight, yes, thank you, amen. He wouldn't go in daytime. A lot of people want to slip around, yes. Amen. I could say a lot here, but a lot of people want to get some answers to something, but they don't. Nobody know where to get them. You'd be surprised how many get these tapes, listen at them. Preachers. Amen. Get some of these things to preach, but they'll never tell you. They wouldn't dare to say, I heard Ben Howard preach this. No siree. Amen. One preacher told me that's where I get my messages. So I listen to these tapes. But let him get up and tell the people then. You know what? They'll throw him out. Amen. But Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, good master, we know that you're a teacher come from God. We, that means more than him knew it. But they weren't going to admit it. And said, what must I do to be saved? You know what Jesus said? You must be born again. That carnal-minded man didn't know a thing world about being born. He said, what can I do? Can I get in my mother's womb again and be born? Now, isn't that ridiculous? It sounds ridiculous, but if you've never heard of being born again, you probably think the same thing. Can I re-enter into my mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, you're just a fleshly man talking about flesh. I'm talking about spirit. They that are born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Said, and he began to say, tell me about it. Jesus said, if I told you about earthly things, you can't receive them. How in the world are you going to receive them if I tell you something spiritual? Amen. Other words, in God, in Eden, Eve didn't wait till God told them it's time. It's time to bring forth a child with eternal life. You know what? The old devil was there. He came right over into the garden. And he went to a creature that he could go to. One like unto man. One could think and talk. And you see a lot of them walking around today. You probably don't know them. Unless they open the mouth. And then if they open the mouth, you probably don't take too long to know them. Amen. A lot, most of them in pool. Well, I wouldn't say most of them. But many of them in the pulpit with a dress on, a robe of different colors. Amen. The old serpent came to Eve and said, no use waiting. You waited around. Don't wait on that. I can show you how to have a child and without waiting for some so-called revelation. And he kept on maybe days or maybe weeks and might even been months. He was kind of working on her, talking to him. One day, she said, "Well, I tell you what, I'd sure like to have a child." He said, "Okay, I'll show you how." Amen. She took of that tree of knowledge. She went the route of knowledge instead of waiting for God to bring Adam and Eve together in His way to bring forth a child with eternal life. Amen. Is that right? Amen. And nobody can bring the life out of this book unless they're called. I read that scripture last week, so I won't get on it, but I quoted it anyway, where Paul said the letter of the word, it ain't going to do but one thing. It'll kill you. It'll kill you. But when God puts His Spirit upon it and make it live, how do we know we make it live? It's when you see what He said would be here. When you see that here doing what He said it would do, that's the living Word. That's the life back on the Word. And here it is today. Amen. Apostolic ministry growing. Amen. Other branches growing from a pastor, teacher, evangelist. Amen. And we all speaking the same thing, got the same mind, seeing eye to eye on the Word. Amen. And the watchman on the wall shall see eye to eye, said Owen. Amen. So, God's Word, the tree of knowledge and the tree of life, and the first hand, the written Word, the second hand, the spiritual Word. See, it takes that spiritual hand to make the second hand live. It takes that day star to make that more sure Word of prophecy live. Amen. And it takes the Spirit, takes that second hand to bring forth what God said would be here. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. I believe I heard somebody say it was good. So, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. So, let's bow ahead and pray. God, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this another day where we've come together, Father, and where, Lord, we've felt your good Holy Ghost from the very beginning of the service. Felt Christ in our midst. Lord, I just pray now that we'd deliver this message, Lord. That's my part of it, Lord. Preach the Word. And Lord, you said you would send it forth and it would accomplish that you've ordained. And it would prosper where you send it. Lord, it's you're the one ordaining it. You're the one sending it. You're the one that causing it to prosper, Lord. So therefore, Lord, we commit it into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.